All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this evening, Lord, and I ask that you would prepare our hearts, Father, for what you have for us during the Devo, but also just in our groups, Lord, that you would open us up, Lord, that you would speak to us and prepare us for another 5 weeks now before we get to meet up in our groups again, Lord, and I just lift up this time to you, Father, ask that you would speak through me, Lord, and that we would all just be blessed and that you would be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so yeah, Exodus 16 and 17, we see God providing. And really what has stood out to me the most as we've been going through Exodus, the whole study really, is God's faithfulness in spite of Israel's complete lack of faith. Time and time again, Israel would complain or cry or grumble, whatever. And then the Lord just shows up for them in this amazing way. And reading that, it's easy to look at them and think how crazy it is that they just don't remember like 5 minutes ago when God showed up for them, right, in this cloud or in a pillar of fire or parted the Red Sea. It's with all these incredible miracles taking place, it's day after day, it can be easy for us to simply kind of write these people off almost, you know, and we think they just must have been in Egypt for too long, something, right? I mean, they had forgotten the Lord, they did not know the Lord, must have been something wrong with them. I mean, with that much evidence, there's no way I wouldn't, like, be just all for the Lord, right? Something just must have been wrong with their brains. But you might recall that one of the cross-references that we went to in our study was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I just so happened to be in 1 Corinthians for my daily devotional. And of course, I air quote that, right, because it's not a coincidence. It's God's perfect timing. So I ended up reading that chapter again, all 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just a few days ago when I was in the midst of working on the Devo and praying about it. And yeah, the Lord totally convicted me. So why don't we turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, we're going to read the first 5 verses here. Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So you read in that, and then when you realize the amazing understatement that is, with most of them, God was not well pleased, right? Because how many people, of all these people, how many of the adults made it into the promised land? 2. Okay, yeah, so with most of them, he was not well pleased, right? Yeah, and not even Moses, right? Not even Moses makes it in, because he screws up right at the end. And that should catch our attention, especially when we get to verse 6, where he says, "Now these things took place as examples for us." So what is Paul doing in these first 4 verses? Well, what he's doing is he's making a clear correlation or a parallel between the people of Israel in Exodus and the church that he's talking to right here, right now. Israel was chosen by God and provided for by God, just like we are as God's church. They're passing through the Red Sea as a type, right? It's a picture of baptism from one life to another, as we Christians are also baptized to be identified with Christ in his death and resurrection. They all ate the same spiritual food, right? They were literally fed by God. Well, we also feed on God's word, right? We are always in requiring his continual provision. They all ate the same, drank the same spiritual drink. So they drank from the rock, the living water we also drink, which comes from Christ, who is the rock. Paul's making it clear that just like we have been chosen, Israel also had been chosen, and they had experienced God's goodness, and they had seen it. And yet, so many of them just failed completely. The privilege of being on this side of Jesus does not protect us from the consequences of sin. If anything, we're held more accountable because of their example and because of Christ's example. Remember, as we get into verse 6, that Paul is not talking to unbelievers when he writes these next few verses. He's talking to the church. Let's read verses 6 through 10. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Points out four things. Idolatry, putting anything in your life as a higher priority than God. I'm sure we've all done that. Sexual immorality. Come on, guys, that's a big one. Lust, pornography, gazing a little too long. Could catch any of us. Testing the Lord. Questioning him, as Israel did when they were in the wilderness and they were hungry and thirsty, and they felt that God's provision of manna wasn't good enough anymore. Grumbling. I found myself doing this at work a lot lately. I don't know if you have done that as well. These things destroy the church. They destroy our ability to fellowship. They destroy our ability to build each other up. But worst of all, if left unchecked, they can prevent us from entering the promised land. Verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. The story of Israel's exodus from Egypt and grumbling against God for food and then grumbling against God for water, it's not just an example, it was written for our instruction. Us, whom the end of the ages has come. This is it. We're at the end, just as Paul was at the end, but we're even closer to the end. And we're so close to the end of this race. In fact, Paul just finished comparing the Christian walk to a race in chapter 9. If we just go backwards a little bit to verse 24, chapter 9, it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Even Paul, Saint Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, right? It's not a simple thing, and it takes work, and it takes discipline. We have to be careful when we read these stories that we don't just write it off, as I must admit, I initially did. I found myself thinking, I've read this story before. We're 17 chapters into Exodus, and a lot of those chapters show the Israelites complaining or showing a lack of faith. And we've had more than just a couple questions in these studies that sound very similar to, how does Israelites' complaint reflect their lack of trust in God despite his previous deliverance? And there's like one in every study almost, right, where we talk about, yep, they failed again, even though God just helped them again, right? And it's easy to say, I get it, they were stupid, right? And move on to the next question. But I had to stop and pray, and it didn't take long before the Lord was showing me the areas of my heart where I still grumble about things at work and maybe gaze a little too long, right? And maybe who knows what else that I'm not going to share with you guys. But even though, especially at work, he has been so faithful to me, right? I mean, I just look at my life in my employment and so blessed, and how dare I just grumble about stupid things at work, right? So yes, God was faithful to his people. God was faithful to his promise, but the people who continually failed to recognize his faithfulness were eventually allowed to die in the wilderness, just as they believed God led them there to do. God is faithful, but he only intervenes for so long before letting us choose our own way. So my exhortation to you tonight is, take time and let the Lord search your heart. Don't take any of these Bible studies for granted. Let the Lord work on you every time you sit down to work on it, because there's always plenty of work to be done on us. And don't forget verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12, which says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these studies. And we thank you for the time that you've given us to work on them and draw closer to you, and the work of sanctification that you are continually doing in our lives, Lord. I lift up, just as we go into the study now, that you would open us all up, that we would build each other up and sharpen each other's iron, Lord, and just continue in your word daily. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.